Tell the skinny hoes to point me where the thick hoes at. He want a flat booty bitch, I'm not with all that. I got chills for days and I got wills for weeks. I bring out the fleet and it bring out the freaks. It's a block party, they done blocked off half the street. She's a big booty bitch, showing ass and cheeks. She's a walking bag of money, she's a masterpiece. So when she running game on you, she's an athlete. Hat trick, gave three hoes, three stacks a piece. And every time I get the hit, she get that bread from me.
Big ol' ass is heavy, shake that shit like jelly. Put me on your plate and slurp that shit up like spaghetti. Man, I make this shit look easy, I ain't trying, I just be me. I ain't never met a hoe I felt like I had to compete with. This the type of booty make a nigga drop his bitch. Wait, this the type of ass when I get home, he washing dishes. He wanna ride on the horse, he need to give me the keys to a Porsche. I told him, until you finish your dinner, how can I let you leave off of the porch? Well, let me butter your corn on the car, we give each other more neck than the bomb. He like to put a little oil on my ass before we record, so I feel like a star. Rolling like I'm Tina, pussy Aquafina. Make this booty giggle like you Martin and I'm Gina. Put me in designer, let me meet your mama, if you got another bitch, don't put me in no drama.
Tell the skinny hoes to point me where the thick hoes at. He want a flat booty bitch, I'm not with all that. I got chills for days and I got wills for weeks. I bring out the fleet and it bring out the freaks. It's a block party, they done blocked off half the street. She's a big booty bitch, showing ass and cheeks. Walking bag of money, she's a masterpiece. The way she running game on you, she's an athlete. Hat trick, gay, three hoes, three stacks a piece. And every time I get the hit, she get that bread from me.
Verbose.xyz tonight. Feeling woke as fuck. I am the mad scientist Miles Lurode. And I'm joined by a crew tonight. Shout out to my AI trash Groovy for actually being able to play tracks. I'm super impressed. But we got Crafter on the horn, obviously. My dick run hot. A.K.A. Black Jesus. A.K.A. Conspiracy theories are real. A.K.A. fucking NASA hoaxer. Just kidding. He believes that the world is round. How you doing tonight, sir?
Yeah, just chilling on this round earth, watching the world go round. Yeah.
Fuck. Also on the horde tonight, we got the powerful ho. She actually came back for round two. Hopefully she'll stick around. How you doing tonight, ho?
Doing well. Doing well. How you doing, mad scientist guy?
I'm doing quite well. Feeling woke. And I must say to all of you out there, Scoochie. If you didn't hear it, first from Gucci Mane, I want to be the second to let you all know, or the first if again you didn't hear it, Scoochie. The ignorance is thick tonight. We're hoping to share it with all of you. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't joined us before, fucking stick around. You're in for a show. So yeah, fucking ho. Last time I think we softballed you, so I'm gonna ask you straight up several questions directly relate. Yeah, fuck the monologue, dude. I'm on it. We're jumping
fuck.
On this.
Oh fuck.
I'm sorry, dude. Yeah. I'm sorry, dude. Jumping right on this.
So, I'm already in a hot seat, boys.
I'm literally gonna ask you a bunch of questions directly related to your political views, very generalized and polarized, and see where you come at it. So,
sure.
First one, easy, low hanging fruit, abortion. Yes or no?
You know, I think there is a difference between being pro-choice and pro-abortion. Because I think, although pro-abortion is synonymous with pro-choice, I think pro-abortion is almost this rabid thing that's come out and to where they are throwing logic out of the window and they think that they can abort a baby just right before the day before birth. And I mean, think that's crazy.
I mean, let's be fair, right? Like it's not pro abortion per se. It's pro choice. I fucked that up by saying that. I don't think.
Well, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, they are synonymous, but at least with, I think there's some women that are pro-choice that are a little bit more logical about, you know, when. Me personally, I believe in accountability.
But I mean, straight up, like government wise, like for the people.
No, I personally believe that if life is not fair, women, you know, if we slip up after slipping with a guy, we're the ones that get the consequence. But that being said, I'm not a victim. I mean, if I make a mistake, I am not going to, you know, abort something that, you know, I should take accountability on. I do have some stipulations, though, because I think there should be, you can't just, I find it difficult to be straight pro-life in any situation. There is going to be times when you have to offer a choice. And that choice is with child rape. Like if a stepfather rapes their 12-year-old kid, right? She is probably going to be so traumatized she wouldn't even know what to do or who to tell. And I would not ask her, if she didn't want the baby, I would not ask a child to carry another child to term. If she didn't want it, then we need to step in and help.
Interesting. That I find you are closer to what I would be aligned with, essentially. Crafter, what say you?
What if the baby's like super retarded? What about that? What if, like, the dad worked landscaping, he had a whole bunch of Roundup on him all the time, and the baby came out all fucking cleft palate, half retarded?
Okay. Crafter, no, that's a serious question. Crafter, my sister was born mentally and physically retarded. Okay? She actually was born with both male and female parts. And this is something that I've never shared before, by the way. So for the whole two viewers, you know, this is very, very, very personal.
Interesting.
But my mother raised her as a girl, and she had the capacity of an infant. And her, you know, she was never unhappy. You know, she didn't comprehend the bad things in the world. She only lived like an infant would, just innocent, up until she lived longer than anticipated. People didn't think that she would live past 6 years. She lived up to in her late 20s. If you would have asked that question of my mother, you know, my mother, in raising Jody the way that she was raised, my mother went through obstacles that you would not believe, because keep in mind, back in the day, it was in the 70s, right? So people thought, you have a kid like that, you must have done something wrong. So she lost, it really shows who your friends are. She lost friends, she lost family members. She had to go and fight for Jody's rights. And it made her an incredibly strong woman. And she made me a strong woman because she taught me all what she's learned too. So, you know.
Interesting. So you're saying the plight of humanity doesn't necessarily exist on having full capacities, that there's lessons to be learned in what humanity is on kind of a more visceral level, like a more survival level.
I'm just saying that, you know, it speaks more, it's a very personal decision if you know that your child's going to be born with that many anomalies. And you don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that it made my mother stronger. Now, whether or not, and Crafter brings up a good point, whether or not we want to, you know, if someone's like that, and you offer the abortion option, that's something I've never really thought about, because I've never been I just always assumed that you would have the child regardless.
But like I can see a point of like monetary responsibilities. Like, do your parents consider themselves affluent?
No, not at all. The state has facilities that will take care of the child. Mom tried to take care of the child alone, but she had to go back to work. So we found us in Gladewater, Texas, and in Denton, Texas, and in Corpus Christi, there are specialized hospitals that take care of these kids. And our taxpayers, our taxes pay for them. So it's not like mom was out. She found these things, and it's not like we were out. And you know what? I'm okay with my taxes paying for these facilities and these kids.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a social programs are good, especially when the money is put to good use.
When the money is put to good use. Yep. So I don't know if that answered your question, Miles, but I guess the bottom line is I'm mostly pro-life. But I hate people who use abortion as a means of birth control. I mean, take accountability. If you sleep with someone, I mean, the act of sleeping with someone is to procreate and to create babies. That's what it is. That's what the act is doing. And there, you could go and get condoms and get protection or whatever.
Crafter,
or do it in the butt. You know, anal sex is a great alternative.
Wait, what? What in the butt?
Do you want to do it in my butt?
But there has been a small percentage of women who have got pregnant through anal sex, so you're not 100%
what?
Safe.
That is true. That is true. Okay, so next topic. A little bit on abortion. How about the wall? Build it, leave it be, money not well spent.
Build it.
Go.
Build that son of a bitch, because everything I've read, walls work. You know, it's a good deterrent. Do you remember, I don't know, earlier this year when Jim Acosta went down to the border and he's got this smug Jim Acosta smile saying, well, and he's right by the wall. And he's like, well, it's quite peaceful here. I don't see anybody trying to break in.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and you're like, duh. They're not going to try to break in because there's a freaking wall right there, man. It does accomplish things. I think we, on the last time we talked, man, I'm good with legal immigration. But with illegal immigration, there are too many women and children that get up here and get trafficked. And that's, you know, that's a horrible, horrible way to live your life or come to America and get exposed to that. And if a wall deters that, then hell yeah, build that wall.
Interesting. I don't know how to feel on this subject. I'm kind of torn at the moment where, like, I've seen a lot of what's going on with immigration, but I also see a lot of how, like, America looks past a lot of illegal immigration for their own benefit.
Sure.
And I shouldn't say America, but I definitely want to say, like, American invested corporations, you know. Crafter, sure. What say you?
I think the wall is a waste of time. I don't see it deterring much at all. I feel it's going to make the coyotes and the people smuggling people more sophisticated in their methods. And it makes us less likely to be able to track it in a technological way through more cameras, more sensors, infrared, and instead of, you know, just trying to, like, wall it off and consider it not an issue anymore.
I disagree, because I think that and I've explored the options of, like, invisible walls of tracking or whatever. The forces on our borders are spread thin. I mean, they can't cover that amount of that vast amount of mileage. There has to be some deterrent in place. And for the parts with the walls, they don't have as much of the traffic in and out of the states, and that's been documented.
So you're saying, if they had like 30,000 people who didn't have jobs and were familiar with the border area, they could secure it.
So what are you? So are you talking about getting more border security? I'm not sure what you're.
I mean, you have all these immigrants who are constantly crossing the border, and they want to come in here, and they need jobs. Border security, that's a great job.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I think the other point is, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but you have to also consider that they need proper training. Do they have, is there educated, is their education meaning the standards? Could they pass the test to do the security? You know, I don't think that, I mean, I've tried to, I've actually applied to go to a police force one time, and because I was trying to find my goal. And, you know, I thought, I'm so damn bossy. Why don't I become a police officer and boss people? No, I'm kidding. But no, I'm good with a firearm, and I thought this was right up my area because I'm good I thought it would be a good fit, but as it turns out, you know, there's a lot more to it than that. And you know,
not to get too far off track. I do.
Sure.
I can see in what both of you say that one of the problems is trafficking. Like, what if a wall does or doesn't work? What do you do about coyotes? Like on both fronts, right? You got an invisible wall. You have increased border security. You have drones. So what? How do you keep the technological advancements or the, you know, blind spots from keeping coyotes out? Same thing with the wall. Obviously, fucking ladder. You know, like especially if it's unmanned. And yeah, and you look at El Chapo shit. Like fucking tunnel under that. Like they're probably already there.
They already have tunnels into San Diego from Tijuana, and that has a massive wall.
So, well, and this is, and I'll just put my two cents in as far as like where we're at now in the in this discussion of this topic is that if you think about the defense fund, right, and that being allocated to the wall, I guess you would be in a sense saving money in that initial investment of the wall, but why not put it into personnel into the country? We're already spending so much money on things outside of the scope of like what the EPA would be in other regime changes, but currently it's fucking loose as shit. So we're like mining the fuck, fracking the fuck. As much as you want to feel about that, you know, these resources haven't been discovered as renewable, so to speak. Fuck the government, fuck the environment aside. You know, why not turn that into a job opportunity on the wall? Especially with so many retired vets and things like that. It seems like a better way to spend that money.
Well, I think we could do a little bit of everything. I do know that they have definitely tested samples of different wall construction to see what would be the best deterrent, what would be ladder proof, what would, you know, so they wouldn't be able to leap over or whatever. And then, you know, they want to be able to see what's going on the other side of the wall too. So there's little gaps in through there as well. And then, of course, you know, with Trump bringing the troops home, and he was talking about, you know, trying to reapply them down at the border. I mean, that's another way to look at it too. I think we could do a little bit of everything. And if the wall helps, then yeah, sure. And again, I love Cruz's proposal back in the day of using El Chapo's funds, which is in the billions, to pay for it. And I was crossing my fingers, hoping that that would pass.
I don't understand how that could be even justified in a capitalist system where we talk about free market to take an individual's funds to fund a government project. I don't even know how that could be possible.
Well, his assets were seized because, you know, he's a drug lord. I don't know the legal logistics of it either, but if it, Cruz, I correct me if I'm wrong, Cruz is or was a lawyer. So, I mean, he must have something up his sleeve. I don't know.
I want fucking El Chapo dividends.
I mean, all of that was kind of still just a walking back of Trump's original campaign promise that he would make Mexico pay for the wall. That was, you know, like directly, well, that's what he said.
Don't you think that would be one way? Also,
yeah.
I mean, how is that Mexico? How is one individual who is doing illegal things compared to the Mexican government holding Mexico accountable?
Wow. I think that's kind of a really good question. Like, how Mexico is El Chapo, considering he can go into any place, offer shit tons of money, and fucking rebuild the churches and stuff, and get away with fucking murder.
Right.
I feel like he in a lot of ways, represents Mexico.
But, El Chapo, but that money didn't come from Mexican citizens. It's not Mexican tax dollars. It doesn't take away from their government. His money came directly from U.S. citizens. It's just taking our money back that we bought drugs with.
Ooh,
actually,
touché.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think his funds came from a lot of different things, not just from, you know, of course, his customers in the U.S., unfortunately, but with other businesses that he's done. But you know that Mexico, anyway, is run by cartels.
Yeah.
But I mean, so,
isn't that punishing the Sinaloa cartel more than Los Zetas cartel, or more than, you know, the other cartels that exist there? Like, isn't that singling one out and not punishing the others, allowing the other ones to thrive more, or leaving a power vacuum for them to take more land?
No, because if he uses the funds to build the damn wall, then that's going to harm the cartels as well. They're going to have to rethink their strategies, you know, if they, you know, getting over there. Now, I mean, you said mentioning going under the wall too, but again, I think that you know, that with the wall having little gaps in between it or whatever, and the border patrol doing their thing or whatever. I mean, digging a hole is not going to be an overnight thing. That would take months of planning and stuff like that. So
not if you're really good at it.
it would take definitely more planning than other methods,
right,
for sure.
True. Right. But,
like, I mean, we already acknowledge that, you know, the border is so vast, thousands of miles long, that it's hard to monitor the whole thing.
Yeah.
So why do we think that our government has our whole coastline monitored, or our territorial waters, or that they couldn't transport most of these drugs by boats or submarine?
Well, that is a good question. People put up, I have seen arguments about that, about our Coast Guard and stuff. But, you know, when you think of trafficking, I haven't seen a lot of talk about going through the ocean. They've been crossing the border through, on land, than the ocean. So obviously there's something going on where they feel like the ocean, they got covered.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Recently, the U.S. Coast Guard stopped a small submarine, barely submersible, just in service, 155,000 tons of cocaine in it. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it, like, the cartel has lots of money, lots of weapons, and lots of influence. Why would a wall stop them from selling their product?
Fuck the wall.
Wouldn't it build
the trench?
It would higher the price going across that border. It would increase their risk, increase prices on drug users.
I don't really care about the economical thing about, you know, increases the prices on it. But I do know this, and it would make it more difficult for their product to get across the border. And that's the entire damn point.
Yes, but we definitely have to acknowledge that there's no way to stop any 100%.
Of course not. If they want to get through, they want to get through, but we're not going to make it easy. And we're going to also track their progress too.
But I mean, these are the same people that just this week, you know, El Chapo's son was arrested, and they started a war in the city. Just started shooting random people, surrounded the police, lit things on fire. I mean, these are why would we want to suddenly, you know, try to engage in a narcotics war against them now? When they've amassed so much power and so much money from us.
We could keep going with this one. This one's good, but let's try to transition to the next device.
Sure.
My last thought on it though is fuck the wall, dig the trench, and then we could like do like some crazy trades, man, and be
sick. Mexico up.
I definitely want that damn wall up because I think it could do more good than harm. And as far as the internal wars in Mexico, you know that the government caved and released the sun. I mean, Mexico's got to fucking fix themselves.
They are our neighbors. I mean, they are our neighbors, and having them, you know, destabilized next to us is like bad optics. So there is that to think about. Yeah.
But in the meantime, let's deploy some troops down there to the border to make sure that doesn't. You know, because I'll say this and I'll shut up. I'm sorry, but I'm not sure who said this, but you're absolutely right. We do not want that spill out to the Texan supporters. So Trump, if you're listening.
He's listening.
Definitely
listening.
If you're listening.
Shout out to Trump.
Yeah, come send some... Since the border controls down to, especially Texas, I think it'd have California. But down
Michelle
to Texas,
Lujan Grisham, if you're listening, send borders to the troops.
The troops couldn't hold Iraq. Why do they think they could hold El Paso?
Oh, God.
Damn. Okay, so next topic. Russian collusion, or let's say international collusion, true or false?
False. Oh, my God. God, false. Give me a fucking break.
I'm going true.
I knew it was gonna happen. Okay, so false. Why? Lay it out.
Make my argument.
Yeah.
Dude, no. It's just. I mean, it's just a propaganda by the media. I mean, for God's sakes, man, they came out with the report. It's false. Drop it. It's a dead horse. Trump did not collude with Russia. If anything, Obama colluded with Russia because of that one. He told Putin, I agree.
Obama did as well. I think that's the real issue here, is that this is the normal way things have been going for decades now, that you contact your rich and powerful contacts in other countries, other business owners, doesn't matter what country, and you try to get dirt on people, you try to find information, you try to find ways to give yourself an edge. In the end, it comes down to mostly the voters, but you're always trying to push that propaganda, find some dirt on the other guy. I think this is the way, and now, like, the Democrats are trying to use it as a reason for impeachment when, you know, Obama did it, Biden fucking was making money there, just like, you know, everyone's been kind of doing it that's up in the upper echelons of our politicians.
Right. And I'm not going to disagree with that either. I do think that there are things behind the scenes that go on. Now, whether or not he's a traitor, no, he's not.
I feel like it's just kind of normal things for most people, in the, like why Giuliani is so connected with that kind of stuff, and other lawyers for other, you know, high end people, including, you know, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. I think
What's up with Ukraine? What's up with Ukraine? What do you think? Is there any ties between Biden and Trump family in Ukraine? Is this are they crossing paths business wise? What is this?
I think they're competing business wise, probably. Probably
I don't think Trump has anything to do with Ukraine. Biden, yes. Trump, no. Biden's on their payroll, for God's sakes. I mean, that can't be argued.
Yeah, that is true. That can't be argued. That is on record.
I mean, Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, pled guilty to taking $3 million in profits from Ukraine and not filing on his taxes. So he pled guilty to those charges, and that was Trump's personal
and he can, and that was a poor decision by him. But just because he worked for Trump or whatever doesn't mean Trump knew about that at all. I just don't think. Trump's got so much damn money, like he doesn't need that.
Trump's lawyer before Michael Cohen was a convicted Ukrainian gangster.
I mean, Trump's got so much damn money. 3 million, he would wipe his ass with 3 million. I mean, he's not getting a paycheck. He's sending all his he's sending his presidential paycheck to charities.
Yeah, true.
You know, I wish I could wipe my ass with 3 million. Then I would kind of wash the paper and then, you know, actually spend it. Mm. But, you know.
Okay.
I would try not to do a number two. Okay, go on ahead.
All right, so last one. Redistribution of wealth. Yes or no?
Hell no.
Capital
for life, bitch. Capitalism for... No, God, no.
Yeah, I just want to watch it happen. Not that I think it's going to be like really functional, but trickle-up economics could be hilarious. Give a bunch of money to people and watch them go broke within the first year. It'd be funny as fuck.
It would be funny as fuck, but I'm sorry. I've worked too damn hard. I've put my blood, sweat, tears into what I do at work. I've earned every single pay raise. I'm motivated to do that. I'm you know, for a person my age, making my salary right now, my day job is great. And then someone wants to come in and say, you're making too much. We got to redistribute it to someone who didn't, you know, work as hard.
But there's no way you make that much. There's no way. You're on this show. There's no way.
I'm not wealthy.
I could believe you make significantly more than me. I could just believe that, but like more than $500,000 a year? Nah.
No, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, they would come up to me saying, "Oh, she drives a car and she has a motorcycle and a scooter. You know, she's got too much. So let's start taking like $1,000 out, you know, for month, just per month, you know, to redistribute it to someone who you know didn't work as hard. I mean,
what if it's someone who works harder? What if he's like a janitor at like graveyard shift? You don't think he deserves your money?
I'm sorry, but
what
no.
about the I mean, guy that's sitting I'm in his underwear with like fucking
I'm not real point there.
Like with like 75 Bitcoin and he just like throws like, you know, $1 million at the market to see what happens. Like that would be, you know what I mean? Like, what about the fucking billionaire that got handed down, you know, fucking a half a trillion dollar fortune? And then fucking has rid the coattails of these businesses forever and just puts his money into creating social change.
Or what about like 80% of all stocks on all stock markets are owned by four companies? 80% of all stock.
Well, you know, to achieve the American dream, you got to dream big. And, you know, as long as you achieve it by obeying the laws or whatever, like look at Diamond and Silk, for God's sakes. They were called, they're just two young commentaries that were called up to the House, Congress, or I'm not sure, some sort of committee that was overseeing it. And it was during that Facebook fiasco, and I think it was really early this year or maybe late last year, where Facebook censored them from making some monetary gain for them because they had conservative views, right? Well, Diamond and Silk were trying to achieve their American dream because they just dreamed big. People, they got their audience, they got people to listen to them, they had a product, that's what they were selling. And, you know, to just get censured for being conservative things. I'm going somewhere with this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, so, I'm still over there with you.
So, a Democrat, just basically accused them of being money hungry. Because, and he blew off, you know, what they were saying. And she basically was saying that, this is our American dream. We were given the opportunity. We see our end goal in sight. This is what we want to do. And you're blowing us off. I mean, because the market just decided to, Facebook just decided to close rank and kick them off. Now, Dennis,
that's interesting that you say that. It's foreshadowing for later clips tonight, because it looks like Facebook is doing a little bit of a 180 in backtracking.
As well they should, because Zuckerberg was under he was in the hot seat, as if they're actually trying to get away from censoring conservative views or different views, then yeah. I don't know what you're showing, but I sure hope that, you know, they are allowing different points of views on their platform.
Good.
Oh, I just want to say one more thing, and to Crafter's point or whatever, Facebook, Amazon, you know, some of these big companies are wealthy. Apple are wealthy. You can't even imagine how wealthy they are, because they are just reeling in the dough. Will they be there forever? I don't think so, because an American dreamer is going to dream of the next big thing, and it's going to knock them sideways, and then they will slowly deteriorate. Right now, they're at the top of their game, but someone else is going to be coming in. I mean, MySpace was there for a while, and then Facebook came in and basically kicked MySpace to the curb. There's going to be another social media thing that's going to have a lot more to it, and it's going to take the Facebook crowd and draw it into them, and then they're going to be big. And then Amazon has a great thing working for them now, but there's going to be someone who dreams big that comes out of nowhere and then creates another mega giant that would knock Amazon off the throne.
I don't know.
That's American dream, man. The American dream.
That's American dream, but that's a tall order. I mean, like, technological.
It's not impossible. But it's not impossible if you have the smarts, if you have the drive to do it. It's not impossible.
I mean, that's pretty much true. I mean, 20 years ago, no one thought anyone could beat Walmart, you know?
Right.
Amazon has.
So. I guess that's true.
Right. There. Thank you. Thank you for making my point. I think right now Amazon is probably more successful than Walmart is.
Most definitely. Amazon's kicking everybody's ass. I was thinking about that today with like fucking Netflix and shit, and how you know, they're doing their thing here with several contracts in New Mexico, and fucking how, but the second and encroaching on first best streaming platform is actually Amazon Prime, which is funny because everything that Netflix hosts is through AWS, which is Amazon's hosting service. So it's basically owned by Amazon anyways. It's crazy to think.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up Netflix, because that gives me another example. Remember Blockbuster?
And then you can see, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, now from Blockbuster getting taken over by Netflix, Netflix being overcome by Amazon, you know, what's the next big thing to take on Amazon? Interesting.
As long as you dream big, that's the reason why I'm not a big fan of spreading the wealth. I mean, yeah, I'm envious of those who have made successful. I am, you know, I wish I had my Louis Vuitton bag or whatever. But, you know, I mean, if I decide to dream big, I'm just not clever enough to, I don't think. But if I wanted to own my own business and find something in the market that no one's tapped into, I think it's exciting to think that I can create something or whatever. I keep on thinking about things like, how can I not go back into work? Something, you know, that's not going to happen anytime soon, because I'm kind of dumb. But, you know, but America, I have this opportunity here.
I dig the dreamer thing. I dig it. Yeah. In a lot of ways, it's hard because, you know, it takes a lot to get to a place where you can fucking be able to be seen or have the money to make your, you know, your invention come true, you know, be able to like.
I really don't think that dream is uniquely American. I think it's shared pretty much any Western country. at this point in history.
Yeah, but, you know, I always go back to that quote, the American dream, and that's what I think about. You have the flexibility here, for
sure. I'm glad we started it off like this tonight. That was super fun. I like fucking tugging at your strings. That was super cool. Yeah. what was that?
It must be a ghost.
Anyway, so I got some good clips tonight for all y'all tonight.
Oh, I love
so.
Clips.
So we're gonna get in some clips tonight. We're gonna be all over the place. Some things we talked about tonight, like the Facebook shit. We're gonna go into a little bit about what Zuckerberg said in front of the House tonight. That's gonna be kind of cool. We got, you know, some other conspiracy stuff. Conspiracy leaning stuff and some old news dug up by the mainstream dinosaur media. You guys remember when Trump was like, I could just go out in the street and shoot someone?
Yeah.
That's actually resurfaced today.
Yeah. His lawyers are saying that literally he can't be charged because he's president. He can do whatever he wants and he cannot break the law because he is immune.
That's what I'm saying, conspiracy. We'll get into that a little bit. And also, I want to kind of start it off tonight because, me and Crafter, I can't speak for current present company, but we're all about the Tulsi Gabbard currently, and I don't think she has a fucking a chance in hell of getting even the nomination. But as an independent party, she could be a strong, yeah. And that's what we'll get into is thanks Hillary. This first clip I'm going to play tonight is actually Sanders and Trump coming out in their like defense of Tulsi Gabbard, not necessarily support, but their defense of Tulsi Gabbard and. You know, eventually we'll also play the clip with about Hillary. We'll play the clip directly from the horse's mouth and see what Tulsi Gabbard has to say about this bullshit. But without further ado, here's our first clip. This is from Clips Fly. Here we go. This is our first clip,
Goopy go.
And it is from Fox News. And I'm telling you something. There's not going to be a lot of Fox News stuff tonight. It's going to be a lot of fucking CBS and fucking CNN, just the way you like it. Anyways.
Give me that fake news.
They say politics makes for strange bedfellows. In case in point, the 2020 presidential hopeful now receiving support from both sides of the aisle, including from President Trump, who said this.
Hillary Clinton, if you've heard of her, she's the one that's accusing everybody of being a Russian agent. Anybody that is opposed to her is a Russian agent. So that's a scam,
Trump.
That was pretty much put down. Tulsi, I don't know Tulsi, but she's not a Russian agent.
Well, Peter Ducey picks up.
Dang.
I know Russian agents. You know Russian agents. I know the best Russian agents.
Now Hillary Clinton's comments are bringing Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders together because Bernie Sanders is lashing out at Hillary Clinton on Twitter. Posting
what?
This, Tulsi Gabbard has put her life on the line to defend this country. People can disagree on the issues, but it is outrageous for anyone to suggest that Tulsi is a foreign asset. And for that, Gabbard is grateful.
Bernie Sanders just put out a tweet defending you, calling it outrageous to consider you or for someone to call you a foreign agent. What's your response to that?
I agree completely.
A message for Bernie Sanders other than any further message for Bernie Sanders?
Thank you for speaking the truth.
President Trump says he doesn't know Tulsi Gabbard, but the two have met about Syria, the issue Gabbard thinks has Democrats mad at her. It was during the Trump transition. Gabbard visited Trump Tower in New York, and on November 21st, 2016, she said, while the rules of political expediency would say I should have refused to meet with President-elect Trump, I never have and never will play politics with American and Syrian lives.
Interesting
3 years later,
plot
Gabbard
twist.
Isn't the only candidate having to defend herself against Hillary Clinton's claims that they are a Russian asset. 2016's Green Party candidate Jill Stein is too.
Jawohl.
Clearly, this is a ludicrous, unhinged conspiracy theory with no basis in fact. Which
I love
is
the environment.
To distract from the many reasons that the Democrats lost the 2016 election.
Yeah.
But the 2016 Democratic Party nominee, Hillary Clinton, is now blaming Stein partly for that loss, for winning 1.5 million votes that could have gone to her, even though 2016,
that
not
could
the
be
first
Gary
year,
Johnson. A third Gary Johnson's candidate. Fucking Russian. Motherfucker.
All those libertarians are Russian agents.
Yep. Everyone who doesn't vote for me is a Russian. Everyone.
And that's the fucking crazy thing, right? Like, how long have we always had, like, third-party candidates? Look back to, like, Clinton versus Ross Perot versus, who else was that?
Bush.
Was it Bush?
Yeah.
Clinton versus Bush, or was that
Bush Senior,
Bob Dole?
Yeah.
Bob Dole. Uh-huh. I'm Bob Dole. I take Viagra. I'm Bob Dole.
Bob Dole is Bob Dole. Bob Dole. And I'm doing the thumb thing, too. But yeah, how about that?
I can hear it.
You can hear the thumb. How about that? Trump and Bernie agree on something, too. That's something I'd never fucking ever imagine in a fucking lifetime.
Yeah, I'm not a Russian. She's Hawaiian. Fuck.
Yeah, she. If anything, she's Asian.
Yeah.
Right?
She I slut.
She'd be our first Asian and female president.
First
That's
female.
Amazing.
First woman of color. First veteran for like, what? I guess, I don't know. Does George W. Bush count as a veteran since he was National Guard? Does he count?
I mean, I feel like plenty of presidents served.
Not in a while.
Or no. Not in a while? Okay, not in a while. I guess you could say that. Yeah, yeah. Definitely not fucking Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton didn't serve shit. No. Donald Trump, give me a fucking break. No, Obama, no, Obama, fuck no.
No, George W. Bush was a National Guard. He was a pilot.
Okay, I see you. Okay, I see you. I see you. Like father, like son?
His father was in the CIA.
That's right, that's right. Okay.
He was head of CIA.
I thought something about a pilot, but I don't know. But I mean, nothing compares to hearing it from the horse's mouth as far as Hillary Clinton meddling and thoughts of Russian propaganda. So let's hear it directly from Islet. I believe this is yesterday, her thoughts on what Hillary Clinton is putting out there in the media. Here we go.
Hillary Clinton, your foreign policy has been a disaster for our country and the world.
Yep.
It's resulted in the deaths and injuries of so many of my brothers and sisters in uniform. It's devastated entire countries, millions of lives lost, refugee crises, our enemy Al-Qaeda and ISIS strengthened. We've seen an increase in Iranian and Russian influence in the region. Turkey is emboldened. And we've seen an exacerbation of the problem of nuclear proliferation by overthrowing Gaddafi in Libya. Yet, despite this damage that you have done to our country and the world, you want to continue your failed policies directly or indirectly through the Democratic nominee. It's time for you to acknowledge the damage that you've caused. Word. And it is long past time for you to step down from your throne so that the Democratic Party can lead with a new foreign policy, which will actually be in the interest of and benefit to the American people and the world.
Damn. Damn.
I think Hillary Clinton's mad at Tulsi because Tulsi's accomplished more than Hillary ever did alone. Like, Hillary needed insider help. And Hillary needed, you know, connections in the system. Tulsi, you know, joined the service and ran for Congress, won in her district by votes. I mean, like, she didn't have...
Yeah, she went hard.
You know, she accomplished so much on her own, and I think Hillary just hates her for that. And even how Tulsi speaks, like, the first woman president should have that kind of cadence and that kind of professionalism and that way to put that many syllables together, not Hillary's bullshit.
Yeah.
And she's a... well-spoken, relatable. She's polished, but not so much to where she's not approachable. She appears sincere. And I am surprised that the Democrats don't want her to be the face of the party. I mean, she can appeal to many. She can appeal to independents. I can see that. But they're, you know, of course, they want to elevate Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. Yeah,
they want that. It's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they might have. They might have the chance with Tulsi. They might because she does. She does it as an independent myself. There are some things I definitely agree with her on.
I feel like Tulsi Gabbard, is like middle of the road, and it distracts from, you know, a bigger change that the Democratic Party is seeking. But all they have is smoke and mirrors, trying to divert to create hate and divisiveness, and then be able to use that as their platform to get voted in on. It's like playing the victim card while making, you know, doing the violence to make yourself the victim. I don't know.
It told you.
You know, when Trump wins again, do you think a bunch of people are going to start screaming at the, you know, sky again?
Yeah. when they're Trump gonna, wins again,
lose yes. their shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's happening in front of us. Trump looks like he's going to win because they won't choose someone like Tulsi. Like, and she represents that the older Democratic values, you know, like when Bill Clinton was running, or, you know, when John Kerry was running against George W. Bush, the anti-war platform. The current Democrats, I don't even know, it's a completely different platform, and with so many candidates on all over the map, I don't even think the party has a stance right now, and that's a big problem.
Well, their party is not even about what, to your point, it's not even about the what Democrats stand for. It's their party's just about hating Trump, and that's just real apparent to me. They're going to do and say anything because they do not like Trump.
But I feel like Trump is more their Trojan horse for what they really want, which is socialism on a grand scale. I don't, like, I was listening to Brian Kilmeade show in the morning, and it was that chick Kennedy that used to be on MTV. She was actually on his program, like, as a guest host. And she was talking about the logistics and, like, the economy around being able to do single payer. And that, like, single payer was tried out in Bernie Sanders' hometown in Vermont. And it was not sustainable economically, even in a town that's affluent and can afford higher levels of, you know, of taxation. Mm-hmm. That being said, now you're going to try to roll this out as an experiment on all the United States and see what the fuck happens. No, I was more comfortable with the idea of Obamacare and, like, fucking being able to choose, even though that really didn't work out. You know, Obama, don't get me wrong, Obamacare was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
and
it
I'm
was,
glad
yeah.
that it was repealed. But at the same token, I think that since FDR, there have been good social programs that have been put into place. That's what the government should focus their attention on, if that's what the people want. But there should always be a choice. Fucking, now I'm going on my own tangent. Goddamn.
Well, you know what's so funny is the day it was rolled out, the day Obamacare was rolled out, the software that they used for that failed. So people couldn't even sign up for it at all. And I know I got to be careful what I say here, but I know that vendor also serviced another company to create their own back. It was a financial company to create the back office systems for it. And that vendor failed to do that as well. Oh, I know. Just as a side, every time I think of Obamacare, I think of my friend coming over. Is like, that's the same people that, you know, created our back office system. We knew it was going to fail, so it was probably going to fail on Obamacare too. Shit.
Interesting.
Switching
gears here a little bit. So fucking obviously, shit with Hillary's weird. It's cool Sanders and fucking Trump have something in common. Obviously, the Trojan horse again is Trump, and we're trying to, like, usher in socialism on a great change. And part of that is just looking at the things that both sides are doing to distract from what's really going on, I feel. And this is a really funny one. This one's coming from CBS News, and this is Republicans demand whistleblower openly testify. This is the idea of facing your accusers. Yeah. So here we go.
Top Republican lawmakers are demanding an intelligence community whistleblower testify publicly. In their letter, Congressman Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes, and Michael McCaul write, quote, as the so-called impeachment inquiry gathers information that contradicts the employee's allegations, we ask that you arrange for the committees to receive public testimony from the employee and all individuals he or she relied upon in formulating the complaint. You'll recall the whistleblower's complaint about President Trump's July phone call with the president of Ukraine launched the House's impeachment inquiry. The new demands come as House Republicans stormed a secure area of the Capitol Wednesday morning, where members of the three committees conducting the inquiry were hearing from Laura Cooper. Cooper is the Deputy Secretary of Defense for Russia and Ukraine. Her appearance on Capitol Hill comes just one day after the top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine, Bill
CBS
Taylor,
hurts.
Appeared
so
to
does MSNBC.
The president's claims that there was no quid pro quo with Ukraine. At the same time, there are new developments from Ukraine, where the country's president was reportedly concerned by U.S. pressure even before the July phone call.
I think I just lost like several minutes of my life that I'll never get back. Oh God, it hurts. Fucking CBS too is prolific on YouTube. It's interesting.
God, I know. Like, wow, what happened there? Like, how did they go over so little information in such a long period of time?
I feel like the title. I feel like the title has more information than we than actually filtered through our brains just
like,
right now.
That's not even fake news. It's just like fucked up, boring news. God.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. That definitely is your grandma's news station right there.
Is there quid pro quo in Ukraine? And the situation in Ukraine is definitely escalating to a point that. Fuck. Got nowhere. I think we could have read that in a fucking headline. Fuck, I hate fucking modern news. Fake news. The more I wanted to doubt it, the more I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Fake news is a real thing. Yeah, and Hillary uses that shit a lot, too. I feel like, her and Trump kind of, like, coined it. Like, InfoWar, too. That's all. That's Hillary. Shout out to Alex Jones, just saying. So, yeah, fucking let's try it again. CBS News, this time Trump lifting sanctions against Turkey after ceasefire agreement. This one's actually kind of juicy. Here we go.
President Trump stopped short of declaring mission accomplished in Syria today, but gave his reasons for pulling out of the war-torn country. The president announced that he's lifting sanctions against Turkey after Turkey agreed to a permanent ceasefire against Kurdish forces inside Syria. Now, the president's special envoy for Syria said U.S. forces have seen evidence of Turkish war crimes against the Kurds and revealed that dozens of ISIS prisoners have escaped. Li Zhejiang has more from the White House.
No.
President Trump applauded himself for what he called a permanent ceasefire in northern Syria.
This was an outcome created by us, the United States, and nobody else.
The president sanctioned Turkey after it invaded earlier this month. Vice President Pence negotiated a ceasefire, but Turkey only agreed to completely stop the attack after striking a deal with Russia. The deal requires Kurdish forces to abandon the area, which they had controlled with the help of American troops until Mr. Trump pulled them out about 2 weeks ago.
Now Turkey, Syria, and others in the region must work to ensure that ISIS does not regain any territory.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, usually an ally of the president, said that was not a solution.
But you cannot rely on Syria, Russia, or Turkey to protect the United States against ISIS.
The administration insists the nearly 12,000 ISIS prisoners in northeastern Syria remain under lock and key.
There were a few.
Never. Never. Yeah, that's a good question, ho. 9/11 was an inside job, yes or no? Let's know.
Are you being serious?
No, not right now, I'm not. Eventually, okay. Maybe. Maybe eventually, but no, I don't want, I was just kidding. But what do you think of that? Like the idea of, I mean, to me, what that screams, especially with the idea that before we even decided on a ceasefire, Russia was already intervening in Syria. It seems weird. And then the Pence going over ceasefire agreement, but the Kurdish fighters have to retreat out of that area, making it easier for ISIS to flourish. It seems like destabilization in that area to me.
Yeah, maybe
like just deliberate.
The next step of trying to push out Assad or something else. It's some 4D chess, who knows? But I mean, like I was telling you, I kind of have this idea that it's just about destabilization. It's keeping, is this globalist idea of, you know, of keeping refugees in other countries and allowing them to, you know, turn into sleeper cells or whatever. And you have to have a country in crisis to have refugees everywhere. And if the war ends, then everyone goes home.
So, you know, to continue to have a chance to cause more war, to make more profit, you know, you have to keep the refugees also with terrorists, you know, in other countries.
I'm with Crafter on that kind of take. I think there's money to be made in war. So, I mean, that's...
Shout out to Dick Cheney.
So, well, careful, Dick Cheney might shoot you.
Whatever, it's only going to be a 22. I ain't scared. You go through my cheek.
The face.
Yeah, okay, so even less. Fuck yeah, to the face. Get some BBs in my skull. We good.
Wow.
Now, I got to give a shout out to MF News. There's a little bit of a gap in at the beginning of this. I guess I could start playing
now. News.
But this station, this is just an independent station on YouTube. There's very few views, but this is the most unbiased version of Trump lawyer president cannot can't prosecute.
One of President Donald Trump's private attorneys told a federal appeals court panel Wednesday that Trump could not be investigated or prosecuted if he shot someone on Fifth Avenue. The assertion from William Consovoy, who is trying to block a New York City prosecutor
this is 10 hours
from examining
ago,
Trump's tax returns in a criminal investigation, came in response to a hypothetical question about a president's immunity. What's your view on the Fifth Avenue example? Judge Denny Chin asked. Local authorities couldn't investigate. They couldn't do anything about it. Consovoy said Trump no longer would be immune once he leaves office. This is not a permanent immunity, he said. Chin persisted, asking what would happen to a sitting president. Nothing could be done. That is your position, he asked. That is correct. That is correct, Consovoy responded.
So yeah. Did you get that? Fucking shout out to MF News, but did you get that?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's kind of.
That's outrageous. That's an outrageous position to hold. Like,
so yeah, the idea being
that's like a king. That's like a fucking king, which our fucking whole system is set up directly to be opposite of that. That the president is accountable, not that he's unaccountable and can do whatever the fuck he wants, like a fucking king in the country he rules.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole
point. And when did that happen? When did this kingdom happen? 9/11, my dude. Yeah. Fucking when we decided to put in mass surveillance on the nation, and then after it turned out terrorism wasn't a threat, they kept it in place.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to my dude Edward Snowden. Fucking, I watched some of your shit on Joe Rogan. I watched the rest later. That shit was good. I know you watch him, motherfucker. You just watching under a secret, super secret VPN. It's all good. but that's just the crazy thing is that's just, you know, that's the most unbiased recount of that you'll see. There's shit on NBC with that shit. There's MSNBC's fucking all over that shit. And obviously, I got to play this one from CNN because it gives you the most concise digging up of the fucking graveyard that is the old.
Let me just make sure I understand this correctly. So they're basically saying that if he goes out and shoots someone out in New York, there's nothing that can be done.
Right. They're saying that when he, you know, when he was, you know, campaigning to be president, he had said that, you know, with the loyal people in his life, that, you know, I could shoot someone dead on the street and no one would do anything about it. Like, it wouldn't affect my presidential hopefulness.
Yeah, I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't even lose
that's
any votes.
Such an exaggeration of whatever, and I'm so surprised people are taking it literally.
Well, I mean, that's, Trump's lawyer used it as
but that's what we're saying is
saying
Trump's
that he
lawyer
could not be prosecuted even if that was the example.
That's bullshit.
So that's why it's resurfaced. It's the same. They're recounting it in legal proceedings right now.
God, man, they are just getting different, aren't they?
Yeah, it's to me, it seems like, you know, fucking drop of blood in the water in a vast ocean. Yeah. But
the lawyer's changed the example so that he doesn't have to give up his tax returns for the past 8 years.
Yes. Because they couldn't get it from third party sources because no one really has it. They just wanted the attention.
Well, MSNBC got a hold of one of them and there was nothing on it.
Huh.
Rachel Maddow. Build it up and got a hold of his tax return. Wasn't much on it. So it was nothing.
So speaking of nothing burgers, here's CNN's take on Trump's lawyers talking shit about being able to shoot people in the street and stuff.
Good Lord.
A dramatic scene unfolding in court today as lawmakers for President Trump try to keep his taxes out of the public eye. Today, the attorneys urged a federal appeals court in New York to block prosecutors from getting access to Trump's taxes and company business records. This is a case that could soon end up before the United States Supreme Court. And interestingly, this 2016 quote from President Trump's campaign came back up in court today.
The people, my people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
CNN's Athena Jones is with me now, along with Barry Whitman, who's a former U.S. attorney. You listened to this testimony today. Tell me exactly what happened, Athena.
Well, this is all about a fight, as you say, over Trump's tax returns, tax records, 8 years of records that were subpoenaed in August by the Manhattan DA, Cyrus Vance. Now, Trump's side argues that they shouldn't have to comply with the subpoena because President Trump, as president, has absolute immunity. And what was interesting here is you saw that clip played from the campaign where then-candidate Trump says that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, not lose any supporters. That very idea was brought up by a Manhattan DA, by attorneys for the Manhattan DA's office, saying, okay, so if you have this scenario, are you arguing, if you say the president is absolutely immune...
The DA's bringing it up. Isn't it fucking propaganda right there?
...shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and nothing could be done about it?
Why would Bill Clinton
indicted for lying
under oath? And
sure enough, Trump's lawyer responded, that is correct. That is their position. So that was very interesting. There were.
It's amazing. I can't listen to any more of it. It hurts. Like, it's just this really overly verbose recount of, like, one question in court that was obviously divisive. It was meant to be divisive.
Yeah, it was meant to be a sound clip. It was meant to be played repeatedly by fucking shitty news stations.
Yeah, and then it's like everybody's picking up on the same thing and just like fucking like parrots reverberating it through the fucking jungle.
And they keep comparing it to like as if he's actually going to fucking shoot someone. Like, everyone think about Trump shooting someone. Everyone, he shot someone. No one's going to do anything. Like, I mean, he could order someone to get fucking blown up with a drone, and definitely no one would do anything, because Obama did that shit all the time.
Oh, Gotti. Fuck. That's very interesting. You know, it's not just at a national level that things all are fucked up. How about, like, at a state level? Shit's kind of fucked up at a state level, right?
No.
What state?
Chicago. Oh, I'm sorry, Illinois.
Illinois. A lot of noise from Illinois.
Yeah, so in Chicago, there's been a teacher strike for like 6 days. Have you heard about this?
Home of Obama and Rahm Emanuel, right? Mm-hmm. Mayor Rahm Emanuel, the campaign manager of Obama. He's the mayor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So yeah, this to me seems ironic on so many levels. But let me play this clip for you real quick so we can get everybody up to speed. Here we go. This is also CBS News. Shout out to CBS News. Your shit's fucking boring. I love
the place
you.
That didn't charge.
Well, thousands of teachers in Chicago have gone on strike today after failing to reach a contract deal with the nation's third largest school district. Both sides have been negotiating for months over salaries, class sizes, and the number of support staff in schools. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said that schools would remain open for children who have no other place to go, but transportation and other services, and that includes sports practices, would be off. CBS News correspondent Meg Oliver joins me now from Chicago. Meg, what's the scene like there, and where are you exactly?
Sabrina, we're in downtown Chicago, just in front of Chicago Public Schools headquarters, and it is quite a scene. Just look behind me. There is just a sea of teachers who have come down here to protest for a better contract. We have been across the city all day long, and they have been striking at picket lines in front of their school. But in just the last few minutes, they descended here. They are getting ready to take a march all the way through the city. They are demanding better pay, but they're also talking about educational justice. What they want extra school counselors, social workers, and librarians at every single school across Chicago. Let's just walk a little bit here. I'm going to show you back over here.
Educational justice. We're looking for educational justice. That sounds like fucking buzzword as fuck to me. Yeah. And also, by the way, are you fucking teachers? Isn't your job to, like, care about kids?
What?
I mean, Chicago is a bad example for that. I mean, they have, you know, it's heavily Democrat red, and I don't want to blame it based on Democrats only, but, you know, Democrats kind of lead all the politics there. They have, you know, some of the most restrictive gun laws in the country, but they also have some of the highest shooting rates in the country, and they can't even maintain paying their teachers a decent wage, who have to deal with more violence than any other school system. So, I mean,
interesting.
Like, I mean, it's crazy. Just the fact that there's, you know, like, massive holdouts to not give teachers more money is kind of crazy.
Juxtapose that to schools in Florida that are training their teachers to carry guns.
I mean, or
I think
or,
it'll.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess yeah, you know, for that. But, you know, not. I mean. Those teachers aren't striking over down there either. They'd just rather buy a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Also, you know, don't you think that education in a lot of ways, especially in an area like that where things are really tough and obviously the government doesn't give a fuck, that what that area really needs is a big old dose of someone who cares?
Yeah. But it's also, it shows such a difference. I mean, it's one of the largest cities in the world. There's massive corporations. There's huge skyscrapers. I mean, Soldier Field and the NFL and their huge presence there. Two different baseball stadiums, an NBA team. I mean, the amount of money coming into that city is outrageous. And you know, to not pay teachers more when everyone else is profiting massively?
Interesting. Well, what say you, huh?
These corporations.
No, I agree with Crafter. I think it's been the funds have been mismanaged. I mean, there's you know, God bless Chicago, and it the priorities are just so wrong. Obviously, their gun control problem doesn't work, which, you know, I'm not surprised that nothing seems to be working over there. I wouldn't want to visit or live there. But, you know, in defense of the teachers, I, you know, was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life and becoming a teacher or whatever. And I went to a nice school area here in Rockwall, which was nice and safe. I never had to fear for my life or anything like that. But I know in Chicago, I couldn't even imagine a teacher over there where they've had kids of all sorts of families converging over there, where a teacher has to be the parent figure, because I imagine that there's a lot of brokenness and you know, where these kids are coming from. A lot of, I don't know, man, this new generation of the kids not respecting authority figures. I'm not sure how I would cope with that. So
but I mean,
I have
whose
a
fault
lo-
is
I have
that?
A...
It's not the kids' fault, right? I feel like it's the adults' fault in this
No,
case.
I totally agree. Parents aren't being parents. But the teacher had, you know, they have to play all kinds of roles too. I can understand their frustration. They do. I'm sure they do want to do right. But they are, they're nurse. They become the nurses. They become the parental figure. They become the authority. They're the educator. There's all kinds of things they have to go through. And the kids are coming to them broken anyway. So that makes their job a lot more hard. So I could imagine their frustration on that, and they're, you know, not being paid enough. I'm okay. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm okay with paying teachers a salary that makes them look forward to coming to work, because they put up with a lot. They put up a lot with a lot more.
In other countries, they get paid like doctors.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that.
Yeah,
I think education is super important. We look past it, but at the end of the day, fuck the kids. I'm just kidding.
Right.
Crafter, well, say you?
Let's look at the universities right now, where all the kids are coming in and they're entitled and they're coddled, whatever. They have no idea
But that's so much different than like state-run public school. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the, I feel like college, you compare the two, college is like an institution that's set there specifically for propaganda and brainwashing. And institutionalized debt. It's a way to become, to create you into debt slaves. So it's this, air quotes here, rite of passage. But at the end of the day, all it is to fucking stamp your name into a never-ending cycle of pay bills, work hard, and then die.
You know, and to your point, Miles, the whole entire educational system could use an overhaul. But the problem is our government mismanages so much that I wouldn't even know where to start. I can't think of one damn program that they do right. Except, I gotta admit, I'm happy with my postal service.
If you think about the postal service, it's basically a private company.
Yeah, they do not operate on tax dollars.
They generate their own funds. Yes.
Yep, they generate their own money.
I'll be darned.
So there you have it. Now that's why you got one to love on.
Okay, well then that's the reason why I like it. Then it's not government. Okay.
Fuck the DMV. I'm just gonna throw this out there. Fuck the DMV. Earlier, you had mentioned like, seriously, every fucking state, if you work at the DMV, fuck you. How about that? I don't care if you're our one
another
viewer.
Fucking button right now. Get out of here. Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off.
I've never seen one happy person working there. Have you guys?
No, but I bet they're happy on the inside, just torturing you. Like that's the only thing that makes their fucking day.
Last time I went to DMV, 3 hours. There was 4 people there.
Oh my fucking exactly, dude. The redeeming factor is the quick ones here. Shout out to if you're at like a, you know, DMV Express. Anyways, we can get onto that for another day. Now, Ho, you had mentioned earlier in the broadcast about the next big thing, and then like this big idea taking things over and being able to, you know, exchange hands as far as like the business is concerned. But I dare say that what makes a company successful sometimes is like who you schmooze and who you know. And sure. I think a lot of that, you could see that a lot in the tech industry, right? If you already have a lot of money, a lot of capital, a lot of minds working towards your shit, you're able to do things that, you know, a single person could not. And tech is hive-minded like that. And it makes it hard to see a future of innovation outside of these companies because they're just soaking up everybody that is fucking doing shit. Now, this is the latest and greatest. I think this really released today. This is Google claims quantum computer completed 10,000 year task in 200 seconds. So they're claiming, Google currently is claiming quantum supremacy. Shout out to all my white folks out there that when they hear that, their hairs kind of stand up on their neck. You feel me? Here we go.
Google officially announced Wednesday it has achieved quantum supremacy. The tech giant says its quantum processor was able to perform a complex mathematical calculation in 3 minutes and 20 seconds. The same calculation would have taken the current most powerful supercomputer nearly 10,000 years. Competitor IBM is casting doubt on Google's claims, saying the threshold for quantum supremacy, doing something a classical computer can't, has still not yet been met.
So
yeah, burn. What?
Burn.
I mean,
right?
Well, you. This is more your guys'.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, you might think like someone's gonna come out the next best. You know, there'll be. You know, businesses still exist there. Free market capitalism kind of still exists. Luckily, you know, you have like communities that are able to harbor these things. You see this a lot in like craft and like food industry and things like that. Even in Albuquerque, like you could make money and make a good living, like having a food truck, right? But you'll never fucking own, you know, Margaritaville or some shit. You know what I mean? And I feel like that, you know, that's the same thing with quantum computing and, you know, supercomputing and things. You're talking about a lot of money and a lot of minds coming together to do things. This isn't innovation. At this point, this isn't innovation on a single. This is like money pumped in from all directions to do shit like that. It's going to change the face of computing completely. What do you say, Crafter?
I mean, it definitely will possibly change the face computing in the future. Now, like, I mean, I read up on this stupid article and like Google, what Google's done. I mean, they did build, you know, a quantum computer. They did like 10 qubits or something like that. But it was kind of application specific for this algorithm, for this equation. IBM is calling bullshit because they say that, you know, their model of what they're building is a more of a general purpose computer and should be able to, you know, handle any code, while this one is kind of more specific to the problem that they were trying to.
Right.
Interesting. I could see that. I could see Google trying to claim quantum supremacy. If we weren't fucking rocking and rolling tonight, I would definitely play this, their promo video, but go out there, watch it. It's called Demonstrating Quantum Supremacy. It's on the Google YouTube channel. It's fucking, it's beautiful.
I gotta tell you guys, maybe it's an irrational fear, but I'll go ahead and share it with you.
Yeah, please.
My fear is we're gonna make computers that are self-aware, and you know, the logic will want to target humans. I mean, hell, we've got computers that, you know, you could fuck.
Well, right, yeah, I guess, I mean, kind of, yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I want to fucking target humans. Of course they're going to want to. Shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go back and forth on this. I go back and forth on this because, like, the idea of artificial intelligence exists on so many levels already, including, like, large databases that collect our own information are able to see patterns within what we do to solve very complex problems. So in a certain way, like, we do kind of have this AI overload that watches over us at all the time, be it benevolent or not. But to say that there's going to be, you know, some sort of sentient being robot that's going to, like, take us over, like fucking Skynet styly, I don't know.
Like I said, I mean, we got computers with big anime titties that you can go at. So I think that's going to be the next step. You guys, oh, come on. You know that.
Yeah, who wants some gross robot titties? I want some big old floppies. Hook it up with some real titties.
You want those 3.5 floppies? Hell
no. Maybe the 5 1/4 inch.
That's what I'm talking about. Fuck you. Yeah. I kind of like them cassettes, though, you know, like the Tandy or the fucking Commodore 64.
Maybe it's good. Yeah, those tapes. Magnetic tapes.
I miss my Commodore 64. You guys are talking about titties, and I'm thinking about my Commodore 64.
Word.
Did you used to play with your titties while on your Commodore 64?
No!
I don't understand the connection.
I was too young.
Oh,
shit. Oh, my God. No.
Maybe they were just coming in. I don't know. I'm not judging.
By the way, just a little quick PSA. If you want to donate money to the Powerful Ho and her Doom community, eventually she's going to buy titties so that she can stream for you. So
yeah.
Exactly. So you can
for tips. On FAP.
Yeah. Go to www.fapnow.xyz. Donate now so I can buy some titties. Thank you.
Yes. This has been your PSA. so yeah, on that same line, right? Earlier, you also talked about Mark Zuckerberg and how he's Zuck Diamond and Ice, and it's like this censorship of right-leaning ideas. Well,
correct.
Zuckerberg has come out recently on some shit talking about how he wants to reverse a little bit of this. I mean, a lot of it, actually. And I don't think it stems from anything that's, now he's finally seen the light and he done get woke like verbose.xyz, check us out. It's more like he wants to start his own cryptocurrency and realizes in the past he's renegotiated on shit like no advertisement of cryptocurrencies, yet you're going to fucking put out your own shit. Let me get you up to speed on this before we go too deep into this. So this is a Facebook CEO testifies on cryptocurrency free expression. This is ABC News. Let me hit you with this right in your fucking face hole. Here we go.
Back here in Washington now, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is testifying on Capitol Hill today. It's his first appearance in front of Congress since April 2018. He's there to talk about Facebook's plan to create a new digital currency, also to take some questions on the company's policy toward free speech, also election meddling. And for more on this, I want to bring in now Matt Katz. He's a news editor at Digital.
I don't even want to hear from you. I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, people's analysis on things tonight are just getting, dude, CNN was enough. That was hurting. But you get the point, right? Like, he's putting out his own cryptocurrency. He's getting backlash from it. And literally today, he talked on Capitol Hill directly to the fucking source. And I have a clip from you here from that, actually. And this is from C-SPAN. It's a five-minute clip, but it's worth going through because this is fucking comedy gold. This is Maxine Waters questioning Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I'm saving the best for last. I also got a surprise for you.
Sometimes Jeff. I'm so happy about the Mandela effect and what universe we landed in. Sometimes.
Right? It's so beautiful. And here's an example of that. So here's a C-SPAN clip for you. And this is a very scripted Maxine Waters questioning Mark Zuckerberg on cryptocurrency and the state of government intervention in elections through Facebook. Here we go.
I now recognize myself for 5 minutes for questions. It is no secret that Facebook allowed Russia to undermine and divide our country through divisive online ads. The Senate's investigation discovered that African Americans were targeted the most by Russia, specifically
African Americans specifically targeted by Russians.
Were the most
My God.
Despite all of your technological expertise, Russia and Iran are at it again for the upcoming election. Then last week, you announced a new ad policy that gives politicians a license to lie so you can earn more money off this division, I suppose. Facebook changes the rules when it can benefit itself. Last year, Facebook banned all cryptocurrency ads on its platform because, and I quote, they are frequently associated with misleading or deceptive promotional practices, quote, unquote. Seems fair. Then earlier this year, Facebook rolled back the cryptocurrency ad ban, bought a blockchain company, and announced its own cryptocurrency. So tell us what changed. How did cryptocurrency go from being misleading and deceptive last year and then becomes a means for financial inclusion this year? It seems to me that you shifted your stance because you realize that you can use your size and your users' data to dominate the cryptocurrency market. You change your policy when it benefits you. You reinstated cryptocurrency ads because you had plans to start your own cryptocurrency. So this brings me back to your new policy on political speech. My question to you is, how does this new policy benefit you? Because it seems that a policy that allows politicians to lie, mislead, and deceive would also allow Facebook to sell more ads to those politicians, thus making your company more money. But you can tell me, how does Facebook benefit?
Tell us, Mark Zuckerberg.
Thanks for those questions. I'd like to address all of the things that you mentioned in there. On elections, you're right that in 2016, we were on our back foot in terms of preventing Russia from attempting to interfere in our elections. We've spent a lot of the last few years building systems that are more sophisticated than any other company has at this point, and frankly, a lot of governments, too, for defending against foreign interference. This Monday, we announced that we had proactively identified a network of fake Russian accounts and a few networks of Iranian fake accounts that we proactively took down, which certainly, as you say, signals that these nation states are still attempting to interfere, but I hope will also give us some confidence that our systems are now more sophisticated to proactively identify and address these things. On your question about political ads, look, from a business perspective, the very small percent of our business that is made up of political ads does not come anywhere close to justifying the controversy that this incurs for our company. So this really is not about money. This is, on principle, I believe in giving people a voice. I believe that ads can be an important part of voice. I think especially in the political process for challenger candidates and for local candidates or advocacy groups whose message might not otherwise be covered by the media, having ads can be an important way to inject your message into the political debate.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. Are you telling me, I think as you said to me before, you plan on doing no fact-checking on political ads?
Chairwoman, our policy is that we do not fact-check politicians' speech, and the reason for that is that we believe that in a democracy, it is important that people can see for themselves what politicians are saying. Political speech is some of the most scrutinized speech already in the world.
Do you fact-check on any ads at all?
Yes.
Describe what you fact-check on.
Well, Chairwoman, actually, thank you for the opportunity to clarify. Facebook itself actually does not fact-check. What we do is we have feedback that people in our community don't want to see viral hoaxes or kind of widespread.
So let me be clear. Yes, we do no fact-checking on any ads. Is that correct?
Chairwoman, what we do is we work with a set of independent fact-checkers who...
Somebody fact-checks on ads. You contract with someone to do that. Is that right?
Chairwoman, yes.
And tell me, who is it that they fact-checked on?
Who's it? Tell me.
Chairwoman,
what
we do is when content is getting a lot of distribution and is flagged by members of our community or by our technical systems, it can go into a queue to be reviewed by a set of independent fact-checkers. They can't fact-check everything, but the things that they get to, and if they mark something as false, then we...
All right, my time has expired, and someone else will continue on this line of questioning.
Oh, really? Fucking Maxine Waters laying it thick for fucking Mark Zuckerberg. Did he get
I don't think she even knows what she's talking about.
She was fed some big words there, like she said blockchain.
Yeah, I don't think she even knows what... cryptocurrency is. That woman is just so loony. I'm gonna recognize myself.
For 5 minutes. She's fucking
something else, yeah. But Mark Zuckerberg was also being very dishonest. You could just tell in his speech.
The whole idea of being able to promote smaller elections by not fact checking any political speech, interesting.
Or even playing that kind of game, like, well, we don't fact-check anything. Well, do you contract somebody? Yes. Is that different? Like, do you feel like you can avoid responsibility because you paid someone to do something for you instead of doing it yourself? Like, that's weird.
I think when they're talking about fact-checking, I think they're not talking about necessarily, okay, let's say I'm running an ad for a candidate, right? And I'm saying positive things about my candidate and their accomplishments. I don't think that they're going and fact checking to see whether or not this candidate actually did the accomplishments or not. What I think is happening is someone probably, sees a political ad, who doesn't like the candidate or whatever, flags it, and they're basically kind of looking through to see if it meets Facebook's policies. But as far as fact checking, as far as whatever the ad says, the context of the ad, they're not going to sit there and say, okay, well, he said he graduated from Yale, let's go see if he graduated from Yale, whatever. I don't think it goes to that extreme. I think it's just standard, do they violate the policies or did they accomplish X.
At the end of the day, this is an egregious change from the past, where it was like looking at it on a community, groupthink way of censoring it. And a lot of, like you said earlier in the broadcast, a lot of conservative minds have been like stripped from Facebook. Mm-hmm. But what seems to be happening here is Mark Zuckerberg realizes that the conservative demographic is more lucrative than he once ever imagined, and he needs them back. So yeah. Come on back, guys. If you're hearing this out there and you're wanting to put your message back on Facebook, do it. Fucking the faster that you flood that shit, the better. I myself will stay as far back from Facebook as I possibly can. It's not my thing. I don't like putting too much of my information in the API, says the guy into the master API, says the guy who uses fucking Google. But yeah, Google, fuck your quantum computer, just saying. And this is a surprise for you. Last clip of the night. Surprise for you, Crafter. I think you're going to like this one. I'll just play it. Here you go. Last clip of the night.
Proud Boys Max Hare and John Kinsman were just sentenced to 4 years
in prison
for defending themselves too much after an Antifa ambush.
You cannot be civil.
What we've got to do is
you
got to
set up. This is pure right wing propaganda.
We
got
to
set up
and
we are going
to try to stop this.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant,
this is straight Alex Jones InfoWars right here.
When they go low, we kick them. That's what this new Democratic Party is about.
Yeah, that's right. Kick them while they're down.
I'm in shock. I just got off the phone with John's wife. She's in shock. They have a newborn, not featured in this picture, who won't know John when he gets out in 4 years.
Two Proud Boys just
Eight
went
years
to jail
combined.
For fighting.
2.5 years of good behavior.
For a brawl, barroom brawl with zero victims. The Antifa who picked this fight backed out, insulted the cops, have no injuries. These guys didn't get to face their accusers. There was no accuser. The accuser was the state. It was the DNC. Last year, I did a talk at the Manhattan Republican Club, like I've done many times before, to no reaction in the past. But this time, they needed a reaction. The DNC were about to face the midterms. They were being known as violent. There was jobs, not mobs, trending. And they needed right-wing violence desperately to fit the narrative. So they picked fights all night. They attacked everyone who came to my speech, which, by the way, was a comedy show. It was a funny speech. But within every joke is a tiny revolution, and the DNC doesn't want that because Trump cannot win in 2020. That's what this is all about. It's about Trump and Cuomo and de Blasio manipulating the courts to thwart Trump in 2020. I did my talk. Antifa were violent all night. They were attacking the venue before I even showed up, vandalizing it, threatening violence. They beat the crap out of a reporter, stole his equipment. Zero charges, zero media attention. Three guys, Caleb Perkin, Kai Russo, and Finbar Slonim, got away with assault. They got away with felonies that night. No mention of it in the media. At the end of my talk, about 10 Proud Boys were leaving the event, escorted by police. Two of them, Max and John, were ahead of the crowd. Turn a corner. They were ambushed by six Antifa.
Six individuals circled the block and came
this
82nd
is from
Street
the court,
to try to
a clip from court.
The group.
Six Antifa ambushed two Proud Boys. This was made very clear by the police. The six Antifa jumped them, threw a bottle of piss at them. Max ran up, ripped their mask off. Then the rest of the Proud Boys came around the corner. Two of the six Antifa ran away. Four stayed. They got beaten up by Proud Boys for picking a fight. The police showed up 17 seconds into this silly brawl. And the cops said to Antifa, "Do you want to press charges?" And Antifa said, "Fuck you, pig. I just got punched in the face like 70 times or something like that." They were pumped, the Proud Boys, after this. At one point, Max yelled, "There was fucking four of them." He was proud of himself for beating back an ambush. The media spun that into him saying, "There were fucking foreigners." De Blasio, Cuomo, the Attorney General, Lantzman, all these municipal politicians started pushing this fake narrative that it was a hate group that were roaming the streets looking for enemies. That bullshit fake news narrative made it to the courts. And then the courts amplified it. The judge said, basically called me Hitler, and said he's sentencing these guys because it reminds him of 1930s Europe, political brawls in 1930s Europe. He's saying that he has to sentence these guys to prevent World War III. That's fucking insane. This is pure clown world. The fake news is leading to real sentences. The left picks fights. The left started this. The left said, we're going to beat the shit out of everyone wearing a MAGA hat. And they do it regularly. And regularly, they get away with it. When we defend ourselves, when we stand our ground, we go to prison. What the fuck is going on?
So, Ho winced when I fucking played Gavin McInnes. You're not a fan?
I know who he is, and I have a love-hate relationship with him. I think with the Proud Boys, it's just on the borderline. I understand the message that what they're doing. It's kind of almost trolling the left a little bit, but I think that their message could get
exasperated. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think their message can get exasperated. And misconstrued, like they, you know, they're white nationalists or whatever. That's what I'm concerned about every time I hear the Proud Boys. You know that they're just on the borderline, a little bit there. But no, he's not. I'll listen to him. I like to listen to all kinds of views.
Personally, I think it's fucked up that two people get 4 years for fucking fighting.
Of course.
But how did you feel about it, Crafter? Still Nazis?
The sentence is fucking outrageous. I mean, they should have definitely been charged, just like anyone else who had been charged with assault. And, you know, you get fucking community service, you get fucking probation, wherever the fuck, you know? Like, that's how it usually goes, depending on your previous charges. If both these guys were felons and then got caught, yeah, you're going to fucking prison because you probably violated your parole. You know, that would make sense, but it doesn't really make sense in this example. And I feel like they might even get it overturned on appeal for excessive punishment because people with similar charges don't face that kind of stuff.
And it doesn't seem impartial on the judge's part either.
No, it's politically motivated for sure.
Especially like not being able to face your accusers. That's fucked up.
Yeah, that no one would testify. They used videotape to convict him.
So the state held the grudge?
Yes. They used videotape evidence to convict him. But on the other hand, Gavin McInnes is a fucking ass. His whole career is about making divisive, edgy fucking media to fucking rile people up. That's been his whole career.
and you know what, Crafter, that's exactly what I was trying to say, and I totally agree with you. And I think what happened is when you are deliberately that edgy, that's, you're taking a risk. And yes, I do believe that if we're just going by that entire situation that he set up, I do believe that that's complete and utter bullshit, and no one should have to go through that. But at the same time, there's a better way to get Gavin's message across than what he's giving away. And so, of course, he's going to create enemies. And unfortunately, I hope that they go back and overturn that sentence.
Devil's advocate. Do you think that Gavin McInnes' edginess is in any way comparable to the way that Trump presents himself?
I mean,
President Trump.
Definitely. It's kind of the same belligerent "I'm always right" attitude.
Well, Trump just
some food for
food for thought there. We knew what we were electing when we got Trump.
Right.
I think Gavin's edginess is a little bit more
subdued.
Trump's edginess is kind of a little bit more positive and funny, and Gavin's edginess is more negative, I would think.
I don't know.
Yeah, but
Trump's got some good jabs. He's got a mean right jab. I feel. On that note, shout out to Alex Jones. You know, you ever want to come on the show?
Make fucking the frogs gay.
Yeah, atrazine is making the frogs gay, no doubt. You know, you get the W in your fucking hat for that shit. Fucking Israel, what the fuck, man? We know what you up to. We know what you're doing. But Palestine, do we know? Straight up. Straight up, dude. Straight up. And what about Egypt? Fuck, I don't know.
Bisexual.
As fuck, bro. But one thing is for sure, the gay is real. It's always amazing for you to fucking come in and check us out. Maybe even if it's just for an hour. Thank you for showing up. If you're here for the first time, definitely hit any sort of like, subscribe thing. We're streaming to many platforms right now, so we're spread the fuck out. Love you, mean it.
Come back, man. Come back.
Every Wednesday, 10 Mountain Time, if you could find the time. Anyways, super fun tonight. Thanks, Ho, for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Always good to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome.
Thanks, Ho. Thanks.
Yeah. And to all of you tonight, we will see you next time. Keep it ignorant, y'all. Activists drew down the side of your face, we ain't jacking it. We ain't dabbing them fools, get a nap, you dudes just embarrassing. Who going crazy like us, no comparison. Driven like Marion Jones on the steroids. Y'all niggas slow as a heroin high. Y'all had a year, but you let it go by. Yeah. I was just fucked up, I was just down, down bad. I had to tighten the fuck up, but I'm here for the crown, crown. Oh shit, I was just fucked up, I was just down, down bad. I had to tighten the fuck up, but I'm here for the crown, 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 crown. Dreamville, head honcho, bitch, we came for nothing just like the Big Bang Theory. The poverty stain kept the pain buried and covered the shame with a dream. We would have fortune and fame, a million in the bank, chameleon paint turned cranberry. Now little Jermaine got the same stories, that boy out of St. Vincent, St. Mary's, bro. All hell, King Cole, first of his name, Long May Rain. The boy got a throne, but you know it ain't a game. Dear nigga, I was born in the same. Pressure cooker that's been known to bust a lump of coal and make a diamond. Too sick, me and wrote a Reaganomics. Crew sick, me to go to state of rhyming. Oh God. You could die today, so be held to pay. I'ma leave and breathe and scheme and testimony. So don't test me, homie. Put that knee on it. Put a foot up that ass, you a stepping stone. All my niggas ain't getting no sleep. All of my niggas be chasing their dreams. Ooh, I'm a force of nature. I can't wait to date. I was having problems till I had to break through all my tattoos for sure. They ain't never for sure. Might get tattooed on to tell your hoe, get the dope. In my time making love to your thoughts. Don't get in line, baby. Slut up your mind. It's a brand new season. I'm a righteous heathen. I take on the challenge and I leave it bleeding. I was down bad. Now I'm even Steven. And I'm leaving every fucking weekend. Oh. I was just fucked up. I was just down, down bad. I had to tighten the fuck up. But I'm here for the crown. Crown, crown, oh shit, I was just fucked up, I was down, down bad, I had to tighten the fuck up, but I'm here for the crown, 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 crown.